she mopes apart as owl mopes on a tree. Although she keenly feels the smart, she cannot tell what ails her heart with its sad
jailer because I like head jailing. I didn't become an assistant tormentor because I like assistant tormenting. We can't all be sorcerers, you know. You brought that upon yourself.
Colonel Fairfax is not a sorcerer. He's a man of science and an alchemist.
Well, whatever he is, he won't be one long, for he's to be beheaded today for dealings with the devil. His master nearly had him last night when the fire broke out in the Beecham Tower.
Oh, how I wish he had escaped. But take care. There's still time for a reply to his petition for mercy.
Well, I'm content to chance that. This evening at 7:30.
How can you speak so unfeelingly of the death of so young and handsome a soldier?
Young and handsome? How do you know he's young and handsome?
Because I've seen him every day for weeks past taking his exercise on the Beecham Tower.
Curse him!
Look there! I mean, you're jealous of him now. Jealous of a man I've never even spoken to. Jealous of a man who's to die in an hour.
I am. I'm jealous of everybody and everything. I'm jealous of the very words I speak. Because they can reach your ears and I mustn't go near them.
How unjust you are, jealous of the words you speak to me. And you know very well I don't even like them.
You used to like them.
I used to pretend I liked them. It was mere politeness to compare us as strangers.
I don't believe you know what jealousy is. I don't believe you know how it eats into a man's heart and disorders his digestion and turns his interior into boiling lead. Although I'm a heartless jade for trifling with the delicate organization of the human interior.
Stranger, there to danger, each one's for the world of ranger, to the story. our years are not so spent, and our days are not so faded, but that we with one consent were our loved land invaded, still would face a foreign foe, as in days of long ago, still would face a foreign foe, as in days of long ago, as in days of long ago.
And I've to see to that.
Poor gentleman, he'll die bravely. I fought under him 2 years hence, and he valued his life as it were a feather.
He's the bravest, the handsomest, the best gentleman in England. He twice saved my father's life, and it's a cruel thing, a wicked thing, a barbarous thing that so gallant a man must lose his head. For it's the handsomest head in England.
For dealings with the devil, aye. If all were beheaded who dealt with him, there'd be busy doings on Tower Green.
You know very well that Colonel Fairfax is a student of alchemy. Nothing more, nothing less. But this wicked power, like a cruel giant in a fairy tale, must have blood. And that blood must be the bravest and the best in England, or it's not good enough for the old blunderbores.
Silence, you silly girl. You know not what you say. I was born in the old keep, and I've grown grey in it. And, please God, I shall die and be buried in it. There's not one stone in its walls which is not as dear to me as my own right hand.
Constancy and change. grave is a journey many gallant men have taken. And the wicked flames may hiss round the heroes who have fought for conscience and for home in all its beauty. But the grim old fortalice takes little heed of aught that comes not in the medal of its duty. The screw may twist and the rack may turn, and the men may bleed and the men may burn. For London town and its golden rod, I keep my silent watch and ward.
The screw may twist and the rack may
turn. For London town and all its
will arrive here today, and as he comes from Windsor, where the court is, it may be that he brings the expected reprieve with him.
Oh, that he may.
Amen to that. Colonel Fairfax twice saved my life, and I'd give the rest of my life to save his. And wilt thou not be glad to welcome home thy brave brother, with the fame of whose exploits all England is a-ringing?
Aye, truly, if he brings the reprieve.
And not otherwise?
Well, he's a brave fellow indeed, and I love brave men.
All brave men?
Most of them, I verily believe. But I do hope that Leonard won't be too strict with me. They say he's a very dragon of virtue and circumspection. Now, my dear father, is kindness itself.
And leaves thee pretty well to thine own ways, eh? Well, I've no fears for thee, Phoebe. Thou hast a feather brain, but thou art a good lass.
That's all very well, but if Leonard is going to tell me that I may not do this, and I may not do that, and I may not walk with this one or talk with that one, but go through the world with my lips pursed up and my eyes cast down like a poor nun who's renounced mankind, why, as I have not renounced mankind and have no intention of renouncing mankind, why, I won't have it there.
Nay, he'll not check thee more than is good for thee. Oh, he's a brave fellow, and the bravest among brave fellows. And yet it seems only yesterday that he robbed the lieutenant's orchard.
Father!
Leonard, my brave boy, it's right glad I am to see thee. And so is Phoebe.
Oh, hi. Has something about Colonel Fairfax's reprieve?
Nay, I have here a dispatch for the lieutenant, but no reprieve for the colonel.
Oh, poor gentleman.
I would I had brought better news. I give my right hand, my body, my life to save his.
Dost thou speak in earnest, my lad?
Aye, father, I'm no braggart. Did he not save thy life? And am I not his foster brother?
Then hearken to me. Thou hast come to join the army of the guard.
Well?
And none has seen thee save only ourselves?
And the sentry, who took but scant notice of me.
And now, to prove thy words, give me the dispatch and get thee hence at once. Lie hidden for a space and let no one know. Here is the money, I will send thee more. I will convey a suit of yeoman's uniform to the colonel's cell. He shall shave off his beard so that none will know him. And I will own him as my brave son, Leonard Merrill, who saved the standard and cut his way through 50 foes who thirsted for his life. How to get access to the colonel's cell? The key is with thy sour-faced admirer, Wilfred Shaw.
I think that you can leave that to me.
Then get the answer at once, lad, and bless thee for this sacrifice.
And take my blessing too, dear Leonard.
And thine, huh? Thy love is newborn. Wrap it up carefully, lest it take cold and die.
A Alas, I waver to and fro. Dark danger hangs upon the deed.
The scheme is rash, and well may fail. But ours are not the hearts that fail. The hands that shrink, the cheeks that pale, in hours of need. No, ours are not the hearts that quail. The hands that shrink, the cheeks that pale, the hands that shrink, in hours of pain.
That life is his, so come it not.
And shall I reckon risks thereon when services are to be done to save one life of such an one? Unworthy thought, unworthy thought.
And shall we reckon risk we run to save thy life of such an one?
Who can foretell? May heaven help our hope. May heaven help our hope.
Fairfax, my old friend, we meet but sadly.
Sir, I greet you with all goodwill, and thank you for the zealous care with which you have guarded me from the pestilent dangers which threaten human life outside. In this happy little community, death, when he comes, doth so in punctual and businesslike fashion, and like a courtly gentleman, giveth due notice of his advent, so that one may not be taken unawares.
Sir, you bear this bravely as a brave man should.
Why, sir, it is no light boon to die swiftly and surely at a given hour and in a given fashion. Truth to tell, I would gladly have my life. But if that may not be, I have the next best thing to it, which is death. Believe me, sir, my lot is not so much amiss.
Oh, father, I cannot bear it.
My poor lad.
Nay, pretty one, why weepest thou? Come, be comforted. Such a life as mine is not worth weeping for. My old friend. What's all this? Thou and I have faced the grim old king a dozen times, and never has his majesty come to me in such goodly fashion. Keep a stout heart, good fellow. We are soldiers, and we know how to die, thou and I. Take my word, it is easier than to live well, but in sooth I have tried both.
Another tune. What kind of fate have I?
count it not a whit, nay, count it not a whit, mine is well done with it. Soon as he's born, be sure all means assay to put the plague away, and I war one.
Sir Richard, I have a boon to beg. I am in this strait for no better reason than because my kinsman, Sir Clarence Poldwhistle, one of the secretaries of state, has charged me with sorcery in order that he may succeed to my estate, which devolves to him provided I die unmarried.
Which thou wilt most surely do.
Nay, as I will most surely not do, by your worship's grace, I have a mind to thwart this good cousin of mine.
How?
By marrying forthwith, to be sure.
But heaven have mercy, whom wouldst thou marry?
Nay, I am indifferent on that score. Coming death hath made me a true and chivalrous knight, who holds all womanhood in such esteem that the oldest, the meanest, and the worst favorite of them is good enough for him. So, my good lieutenant, if thou wouldst serve a poor soldier who has but an hour to live, find me the first that comes. My confessor shall marry us, and her dower shall be my dishonored name and 100 crowns to boot. No such poor dower for an hour of matrimony.
It is a strange request. I doubt that I should be warranted in granting it.
There never was a marriage fraught with so little of evil to the contracting parties. In an hour she'll be a widow, and I a bachelor again, for aught I know.
Well, I will see what can be done, for I hold thy kinsman in abhorrence for the scurvy trick he has played thee.
1,000 thanks, good sir. We meet again on this spot in an hour or so. I shall be a bridegroom then, and your worship will wish me joy. Till then, farewell. I am ready, good fellows.
He is a brave man, and it is a pity that he should die. Now, how to find him a bride on such short notice? The task should be easy.
Satisfy you, for we are merry folk who would fain make all as merry as ourselves. For look you, there is humor in all things, and the truest philosophy is that which teaches us to find it and to make the most of it.
Fair, fellow!
Does not hear her say, hands off.
I heard her say it, and I felt her do it.
And dost thou not see the humor of it?
Nay, if I do, hang me.
Thou dost not. Now observe, she said, hands off. Whose hands? Thine. Of whom? Of her. Why? Because she is a woman. Now, had she not been a woman, thine hands had not been set upon her at all. So the reason for the laying on of hands is the reason for the taking off of hands. And therein is the contradiction contradicted. It is the very marriage of pro with con, and no such lopsided union either as times go. For pro is not more unlike con than man is unlike woman. Yet men and women marry every day with none to say, oh, the pity of it. But I and fools like me. Now, wherewithal can we please you? We can rhyme you a couplet, a triolet, a sonnet, a romelay, or a ballad. Going to dance, you a saraband, a gondolier, a carrel, a pimpernel, or a jumping jack.
Let us give them the singing farce that the merry man and his maid. They're in the song and dance too.
I have a song to sing, oh.
Sing me a song, oh.
Sung to the moon by a lovelorn loon who fled from the mocking throng. Out the song of a merry man loping on, whose soul was sad and whose glance was numb, who sipped no sup and craved no crumb as he sighed for the love of a lady. Lady, lady, miserly me like a daddy. He sipped no sup and he craved no crumb as he sighed for the love of a lady.
I have a song to sing, oh.
What is your song,
oh? It is sung with the ring of the songs made sing, who love with the love life long, oh. It's a song of a merry maid, dearly proud, who loved our Lord and who laughed aloud at the moan of a merry man, moping mum, whose soul was sad and whose glance was glum, who sipped no sup and who craved no crumb as he sighed for the love of a lady. Pity, misery me, landlady. He sipped no sup, and he craved no crumb as he sighed for the love of a lady.
I have a song to sing.
Sing me your song, oh.
It is sung to the knell of a churchyard bell and a doleful dirge ding dong. Oh, it is the song of a popinjay bravely born, who turned up his noble nose with scorn at the humble merry maid fairly proud, who loved a lord and who laughed aloud at the moan of a merry man going on, whose soul was sad and whose glance was glum, who sipped no sup and who craved no crumb as he sighed for the love of a lady. Lady, lady, miserably me, like a lady. He sipped no sup and he craved no crumb as he sighed for the love of a lady.
I have a song to sing, oh.
What is your song, oh?
It is sung with a sigh and a tear in the eye, for it tells of a righted wrong, oh. It's a song of a merry maid once so gay, who turned on a heel and tripped away from the peacock popinjay bravely born, who turned up his noble nose in scorn at a humble heart that he did not prize. So she begged on her knees with downcast eyes,
his blades were o'er and he sighed no more as he lived in the love of a lady.
With gross courtesy, but for your honest coming.
Away with ye!